Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Those are wiffle balls for sure. Yeah. Yeah. But I would have thought that the magic chalk. Eight ball had been in already. And
it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah, chalk. That's like, to me, that's in the sand category. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a toy. Yeah. Chalk is not a toy.
Pinball, I think, has to be in.
I'm sort of surprised they're not in. But yeah. Gary says ski ball is not. I would put pinball in over ski ball.
Yes.
I would put that.
Cigarettes not on this list either.
What?
No,
what
but
about matches?
How about matches?
Chet candy cigarettes.
Matches.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We're live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest. Jennifer Street Northwest. Got a very nice Monday crowd. Hello, everybody.
Bring it in.
Chris Saliz is here. Gary Braun is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel's going to run the board, do the news. A couple of things. We are the home of football in America, as far as I'm concerned. There's a football game tonight, though God knows Seattle at Chicago is not the biggest draw in the world. And there's, 5 inches of rain coming. So if you're brave enough to come out, you have my undying gratitude. Also, for those of you fasting on Wednesday, and I am among you, everybody knows that breaking the fast is a wonderful ceremony and often around your family and quite good. We are offering platters here at Chatter that you can pick up. Now, you have to order this today. You're going to hear this after 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific doesn't really matter because you're probably not going to order a platter from Chatter to break the fast in California.
Chatter or platter.
Chatter platter. But if you want this, you can go on our website. I have no idea what that is. Does anybody know what it is?
Chatterdc.com,
okay,
maybe?
Or you can call the restaurant, 202-362-8040, 202-362-8040. You can order the platter today, and you can pick it up on Wednesday. Yes, Nigel? Yes.
Is that order a platter, or the platters will come and sing at your table?
No, that's not the singing group, the platters, all of whom I'm sure are dead, because they were very big in the 50s.
If you think tonight's game is lame...
It is lame.
Have you seen Thursday night's?
No, what is it?
Jets, like the Bills? Jets, Browns.
Jets, Browns.
That is brutal. That's
Jets, Browns.
So let's, again, if you want, I'm going to get one of these platters to break the fast on Wednesday night, and if others want it,
I'm looking at these platter options.
Yeah, they're good, right?
Yeah. Tease us a little bit. What do you got?
On the
interwebs? Is this on the website? What is the website?
ChatterDC.com.
Okay, ChatterDC.com. I didn't know that.
I believe you did have that.
Just a schmear platter, whitefish salad, smoked salmon dip, whipped cream cheese, scallion cream cheese, cinnamon cream cheese.
Yeah.
It's $12, like
pumpernickel
the shirt.
Pumpernickel bread, assorted bagel. Serves 4 to 6. You've got your 4 to 6 option, your 8 to 12 option, your 14 to 20
option. That's for big families.
Can I ask a question
that's
going to show me as a Gentile?
Well, you are, but it's okay.
What is a noodle kugel? Am I saying that
Michael,
properly?
You want to take that?
I'll let you handle this one, Dad.
Kugel is some sort of... It is essentially made with noodles. They're very, very tightly constructed together.
It's like a lasagna?
But it's sweeter than
it's
that.
Bound. Sort of a, it's how is it bound? I guess there's egg in there.
Yeah.
Egg and noodle and
it's not
stuff.
My favorite.
Mayonnaise.
It's not my favorite, but if my daughter cooks
dense,
it, I know it's
sort
good.
Of a dense
it's very
thing.
Dense.
If there's cheese, it would be more like a, what's that cheese?
A blintz.
A blintz?
Yeah. Like,
it's not a blintz.
Yeah, it's not like a... It's not like a...
I'm not going to lie. That interests me.
It's not like a mozzarella cheese.
You can get that. We'll give you a discount.
Fascinated.
I'd
eat that, probably.
Let's get to the football. If I had to judge what was the biggest story, I would judge Jacksonville beating New England convincingly.
Yes.
Jacksonville now 2-0. Jacksonville, they got the Giants first, right? And easily beat the Giants.
Yep.
The Giants aren't any good. They beat New England convincingly without Leonard Fournette. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they've got a... Pro Bowl running back on the side waiting to get into games. And for all of the grief that people like me in the last 3 or 4 years have given to Blake Bortles, I'm shutting my mouth on him. He performed well. New England looked inept is the wrong word. New England looked very slow on defense.
Confounded.
They did not get to the receivers. They did not get to the running backs. Bill Belichick is essentially a defensive coach. This game, and you never ever count out New England, you just don't. It's stupid. But this game looked like the changing of the guard. Am I wrong on this one?
No,
but it's so early in the season.
It is definitely early in the season. New England struggled mightily. I mean, struggled where they don't normally struggle. Struggled converting third downs. They could not stay on the field.
Yeah.
They couldn't get Jacksonville off the field. It was weird to see Blake Bortles go for close to 400 yards and four touchdowns against New England's defense.
Very, very good.
Yeah, we've seen good outings from him before, however. His issue is consistency.
I thought he looked good most of last year, in truth. I mean, he had a few spotty, but
when you get a coach who says, ideally, my quarterback never throws the ball,
right,
which Doug Marrone said.
I thought the Patriots looked outmatched for most of the game.
They did.
You know, they did have a chance. It was in the fourth quarter. I still don't think they would have won.
Well, if they
but Brady fumbles. The guy falls.
Right.
I mean, he didn't fumble. He gets it knocked out.
That's
the guy
right.
falls on it. So
well, it was a third down as well that they challenged and they overturned that.
It's a good call by Marrone.
It was a great call.
Doug Marrone, who I thought was much like Jim Riggleman.
He's doing a good job.
I thought it was a guy. When he quit Buffalo, I said, are you crazy? There's 32 jobs in the world. What are you doing? You're quitting. You'll never get another job. Well, he got a terrible job. But look what he's done there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are London's team. They seem to be doing
right. Yes.
London's team.
And they're good. They are good, but as good as they appeared yesterday, if it's January 14th in the divisional playoff and they're going to New England to play in the playoffs, they're going to be a touchdown.
That's right.
Underdog, minimum.
Second game to elevate a game. The second game to me is Green Bay, Minnesota, which ends in a tie. Both quarterbacks go for over 400 yards. Kirk Cousins looks really like the right fit in Minnesota. Now, to be fair, Green Bay is Aaron Rodgers on one leg.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers didn't go for 400 yards.
Oh, I thought he did.
He didn't even get 300.
I mean,
he threw for two something.
All right, but he could
not move.
Yeah. But everything they needed, he gave them.
Yes.
All right, so let me get to Cousins. This game is going the other way late in the fourth quarter. Green Bay is ahead by 8. There is an interception. Yep. Cousins throws deep, overthrows his receiver. Green Bay safety makes the catch. It is called back when Clay Matthews, and I'm sure you've seen this 1,000 times, hits Kirk Cousins as he's releasing the ball, does not land his whole weight. I mean, it's a textbook tackle. His helmet isn't in it. There's no head-to-head. If you're teaching tackling,
this is what you teach.
If that's illegal, where are we with football? And then Kirk Cousins, to his undying credit, goes the length of the field. Thielen catches a ball that two guys miss. This is what happens when Minnesota quarterbacks throw late.
God.
Everybody misses, and your guy catches it, and then makes a great throw on the two-point conversion. Now, they're supposed to then win the game. But their kicker, who I'm told is now their ex-kicker.
No, he's not yet.
He should be.
You have to get rid of him.
No, I was just...
You have to, if you're Cleveland and Minnesota, you have to get rid of your kicker
today. Well, except that Minnesota spent a draft pick on that kicker. I mean, and they didn't lose.
How long was that field goal?
35.
That was an easy one.
He missed a 49 and a 48.
Those are
you're going to miss some of those. But.
So that... That is a big play in that game, as is Rodgers muffing the snap, you know, when he doesn't hand off and he drops the ball.
And then sack the next play. Yes. Yeah.
Before we get off of that game, can we just talk about the mistake the NFL has clearly made here regarding the overtime rule? I mean, this ties thing, it's ridiculous. No?
They've been capable of ties for years now.
They've been capable of it, but they've shortened the overtime.
To 10,
they've
from 15
they've,
to
they've
10.
Done the fair up rule to like to and it's just I mean, you've now had back-to-back weeks with ties
for the first time in 45 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm okay with it. Me personally, I'm okay with it.
Not me. I say fix it.
What else do we have here? Cleveland kicker, also terrible. Cleveland kicker misses an extra point that wins the game in hindsight.
Well, I think Zane Gonzalez missed two extra points
and
in that game
field
and two
goals.
Field goals. Yes.
So he's got to be
he
cut.
He probably will be cut.
Got to go.
Because after all, he's why they're 132-1 in the last 34 games.
This is my chair. This is where I sit, Hugh Jackson.
But let's go to this for a second. They're even with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they're even with New Orleans in New Orleans.
They just can't finish games. They're not
terrible.
They're
so much better than they were.
Well, that's
so much better
Tyrod
than
Taylor
they were.
Tyrod Taylor is, like you as you predicted,
well, it's not Deshaun
a billion
Kaiser.
Times better than Deshaun. I mean, he was 22 for 30 for 246, a TD and an interception. I mean, that's not great, but it's not...
They're painful to watch late, though. They don't know how to win games.
Yeah. Well, they haven't won in a long time. They do not know how. So let us get to the checklist that I've written down. There were four there were a lot of last second games. The Steelers committed a penalty on the last play, so they didn't get the ball back.
Steelers.
The Texans, Deshaun Watson made a mistake. Yeah. He's running around and running around and running around, throws a complete pass. No time left on the clock, so they can't line up. They can't do anything.
He crossed the line of scrimmage anyway.
And went backwards.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you're allowed to do. Carolina, last second heave for the touchdown. Denver, Case Keenum. Woo!
Yep, got
Case
it done.
Keenum. And Cleveland is a last second game. So I make a checklist of who's good and who's bad. Who's good? Pat Mahomes. Can I interest you in him?
Yeah, six.
Pretty good.
Can I interest
six,
you in him?
10-2 games.
Do you think he can spin it?
A little bit.
That's why they let Alex Smith go.
Correct.
Because
let me remind you, they didn't let Alex Smith go.
They traded
for him, which is makes it even more impressive.
That's what Andy Reid
does. Case Keenum beat the Raiders late. Minnesota, and I'm not going to knock it, because Kirk Cousins is who they want. Minnesota got rid of three different quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of Bridgewater. They got rid of Bradford.
Bradford and Keenum.
They got rid of Keenum.
Yep.
Keenum looks pretty good so far. Keenum was very, very good.
Bradford, by the way, does not. They are terrible.
We're going to get to them, too. Who else looks good? Can I interest you in a Los Angeles Rams-Jacksonville Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
They look the
Los
best.
Los Angeles Rams
You cannot,
look
but
great.
But it's likely.
Jimmy Garoppolo gets a win. Matt Ryan gets a win. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Please.
Fitzmagic. What? Two weeks in a row of four touchdowns passing.
No, Tone, you
didn't see this.
And
400 in a row.
Tone, you didn't see this because you're not on Twitter, but your friend and ours, Jason LaConfora.
Saw the Fitzpatrick.
I saw that. That's the Sean Jackson stuff.
If you did not see what he was wearing at his post-game press conference.
And he said
he
got to be humble. Now, this is going to come back to bite him. Because he's gonna regress to the mean
at
some point.
He's gonna become Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But okay, you know what? If you can't be happy now, when are you gonna be happy? Who's bad? Well, John Gruden's off to a rough start. Mm. A rough start. He had a quarterback complete every single pass, and they still couldn't get any touchdowns. Eli Manning off to a rough start. I said last week that Buffalo could be the worst team. Buffalo off to a rough start. Arizona could be the worst team.
Arizona's miserable.
Arizona is terrible. They're worse than Buffalo.
Especially in hindsight, given the Redskins' performance in week two, when you look at what the Redskins did for the Cardinals in week one.
And they will be worse when they sit Sam Bradford for
play
the rookie,
Josh Rosen.
As they will soon.
That's a good
Sam Bradford yesterday, 17 of 27.
Yeah, I mean.
90 yards.
They don't score. They can't.
They have Fitzgerald.
As Hank Stram would say, they're not matriculating the ball down the field. And worst of all, at the moment, Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
He just looks lost.
Yeah. I mean, 0-2, they came close. They came back. They got a really good quarterback, but they did not win that game. And he's going to lose that team. He's going to lose that team.
I don't know.
And he's going to end up going back to the Patriots, where the Patriots
right,
will
win. Right, that's what they do.
Yes. Can you be a head coach in the NFL who wears your hat backwards as a thing?
Like when I was an assistant coach, he did it.
Yeah, but that's different. When
Mike
Tice
did the butcher pencil in the ear thing.
And lasted 2 to 3 years.
I see him, and it's just he does not evoke confidence. Now, of course, Bill Belichick dresses like a homeless person, and it's amazing. So
God, that is a long list of failed Belichick assistants.
That's everyone.
Crennel, Weiss, McDaniel when he went away.
For a year. Mangini.
Twice.
O'Brien, I think O'Brien is going to be good with the Texans.
I mean,
I think he's going to reverse that.
He's always around 500-ish.
I think he's going to reverse that.
Do you think there's a chance in the next game for the Lions that at halftime Patricia just says, you know what, I'm retiring. I'm out.
Not
we'll
here.
Get to that later in the show. That actually happened yesterday. That's unbelievable to me. All right, so we will take a break when we come back. Michael Wilbon will join us. This was a rough week. Northwestern lost to Akron.
Ooh,
I'm just saying that because when I bring it up, that could be the end of the interview. We could be done. I don't know. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad, and they asked me to please modify to make the read sound natural and genuine using your own words, tone, and voice. Whose other voice would I use? Whose other tone would I use? We ask that you accurately state the offer and the call to action, which I will do. And so it says, what do you love most about shaving with Harry's? And, of course, I've told you repeatedly, I don't really love it. It's fine. I trust it. I like it. I don't really love it, but I think it's very nice. And I will say that the shave cream that they send you is really smells good. Harris stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors is not an easy decision, so they created a trial offer. And you can claim yours by going to harrys.com/TonyK, and we will get to that, because that's what you ought to do. So that you don't have to listen to me, you can try this for yourself. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. You know, for example, the marinara sauce. Nobody really needs that. They knew a great shave comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. And by selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade, compared to $4 or more. And there's a quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, you let Harry's know within 30 days. They'll give you a full refund. This is the trial offer, and this is what you should sign up for. It's a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, a five-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, as I mentioned before, smells great, and a travel blade cover. Listeners to this show, the Tony Kornheiser podcast show, can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/TonyK. Make sure you go to Harry's, harrys.com/TonyK, to redeem your offer. And you can let them know that I sent you. You don't have to. You can. I'm Tony Kornheiser, and that's Harry's.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Ira Maisie, who writes, as football season begins and the official end of summer is on its way, I'd love to share with TK and Little's My Band, Fortune's Folly, the newest single, Summer Nights, with a link to its lyric music video that can be found on YouTube, which was released in August. We're based out of Eugene, Oregon. We play around the Pacific Northwest frequently. Pacific Northwest bands, the Kingsmen and Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
If you like what you hear, would like to know more, please visit our page on Facebook and go to our website at www.fortunesfollyband.com for more info. It's lovely. This is a very
Isn't
lovely
it?
Tour. Michael Wilbon joins us now, and I have to begin where I have to begin. Northwestern, the Big Ten in general, was awful, but Northwestern lost to Akron. You were at that game.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, you didn't go to that game?
No, no.
Okay. What was it? What do you feel about that?
Awful. And there's a direct, you know, there's a cause and effect, and, you know, it's hard to know what to do. So in our bowl game last, I think, New Year's Day, yeah, because we won 10 games last year, so it had to be New Year's Day.
Yes.
Our quarterback, who, if you look at last year's projections, NFL teams had, I don't know, in the top six or seven quarterbacks in the country, and he was going to be drafted if he had left after last season. He tore up his knee, ACL, in the bowl game and decided not to try to go to the NFL. He would come back and play one more year, and we thought, of course, this is going to be, you know, we prefer this too.
Sure.
Clayton Thorson is his name. He's just a wonderful kid. And in the Purdue game, he comes back, and he goes like 8 for 8, and you know, we beat Purdue, and everybody says, "Whoa, this is pretty good. We're gonna be, you know, we're gonna be all right here." And you know, Tony, it's been a kind of disaster because I feel so bad for the kid. We put him on a pitch count, and limit snaps and all that stuff because, again, this is an amateur, a college player coming back from a torn up knee. Not a scope, but the big surgery. And he just hasn't been able to, you know, replicate the last two games. So this game, you look at it and say, how could he lose to Akron? Well, we were up like 28-3. He threw three pick sixes.
Ooh.
Or two pick sixes and a fumble that was returned for a touchdown.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
So there's 21 points in a game. I think it was 39-34. Well, I mean, it's just as bad. I feel bad for him, his parents. I feel bad for him, but I feel bad for us, too.
So
it was, Wilbon, I'm looking at the box. It was 21-3 Northwestern at halftime.
Yeah.
And they gave up 36
look,
36
I stopped watching. I was watching. I said, okay, 21-3, I could go grab a bite now. I decided to play golf. I decided to be Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, go play. Hit it.
You know, there wasn't a while you guys were... What'd you say,
100 and what?
Well, Washington turned into Houston for the last few months anyway.
Yeah, yeah, Yeah. And worse today.
It was like four straight days without a cloud there. So I went out and I didn't go to the game. And I'm sort of glad I didn't go to the game.
So the Big Ten really,
took
it on the chin.
Terrible.
The Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Nebraska, which I thought Scott Frost was going to come in and be spectacular, and maybe he will be, but not so far. Ohio State is Ohio State, but you get to a point where if your conference is that bad, that may be a decisive factor in playoffs, although Ohio State's going to.
Tony, I don't know how good Ohio State is. I didn't see that game because I was out playing golf. But the conference just looks awful.
It does.
And I don't think Michigan's any good. I don't care what the ranking is.
No,
Michigan's like ranked 19th or something.
So you end up, this is what happened the last 2 years to the Pac-10. We just go, they're no good. And they don't get in. They're just no good.
Just
the one
no
thing I will say is that, and I did watch a lot of this, Alabama is frighteningly good. Tua Tagovailoa.
Nice.
Boom.
Mike? He is great.
Yeah. Well, they're great. I don't know who else is great yet. It's been 3 weeks. You know, and all I've done is, watch my team, or I've watched some Big Ten stuff. And like, as you say, Tony, it was like Black Saturday for the Big Ten.
It really was.
I don't see any great recovery coming for the conference.
All right, let me move to the pros, and let me start with Mike the way we started this show. If I had to list the most important development in the NFL over the weekend, if I had to list, and there are probably three or four that anybody could list, but I would list Jacksonville and the way they beat New England. And I wonder, and you don't ever want to say, is this it for New England? Because they're just too good over too long a period of time. But at some point, they go over the side. I don't know, it's second week, I don't know, but what did that game, boy, Jacksonville was impressive.
Yeah, Jacksonville was impressive. It was impressive in some ways for the second straight week, and this is relative. We're grading on a curve now.
Right.
And that's the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, they took a pretty good team the distance.
And the kicker, my God, the kicking.
Oh, stinks.
The most important development.
Minnesota and Cleveland, get out.
With kickers. Kickers. 19 kicks or something missed. In the last 10 years. The art of kicking a football had gotten to the point where you expected every kick in the league to make every kick
from 50 down,
60 yards.
Yeah, that you expected.
Guys are making not just 5-0.
You say 6-0.
Guys are making kicks in the mid-50s.
Yes, they were.
Routinely.
Yeah.
And yesterday it was like 1943. They couldn't make anything. And so I thought that was the most important development. Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville beat New England, but it's September.
Right.
New England often goes 2-2, 2-1.
That's right.
And it's just I can't get worked up over one result. But I just Cleveland 2 weekends in a row, pretty good. Pittsburgh 2 weekends in a row, not good.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know. It's too, it is tough to draw these major conclusions. But I just thought that some of these games, and by the way, here's the other development, Tony. The NFL stinks. You cannot, by rule, tackle the quarterback.
Matthews thing was tough.
What is that?
That's tough. I mean, the Green Bay's supposed to win that game, as we said earlier in the show, Mike. It's a textbook tackle. It's what you teach.
The game's over.
Yes. Yes.
Tony, look.
Yes.
I told you when this rule was passed this summer. This is going to hurt the league.
Yeah, this is not the targeting rule. The targeting rule makes sense.
The product stinks, Tony.
Oh, I thought the games were very exciting.
Touch the quarterback. How do you get around that? That's a fundamental. That's half the game. It's on the defensive side of the ball. That's what makes football. And you can't do it anymore. The league should be embarrassed by this, but it isn't.
I think
maybe it is.
Gary and I were talking off air, and this is what comes up. In the way that the NHL, when they want to change a rule, they change it right then.
That's right.
Right then, in the middle of the season, middle of the game. Someone needs to go to the NFL on this and say, we need to change this particular rule.
They're not going
to
change it.
Well, we'll see. The NHL would, right?
This is a fundamental. have now, of course, become convinced that they have to convince everyone else that safety is their number one priority.
This is not safety. Clay Matthews hit does not equal the hit on Cam Newton.
Right. I mean,
that's a personal foul.
That's targeting. He's dejected, and rightfully so.
That's what the league doesn't understand.
I don't know if they understand or not, but your conclusion is the right one either way. Look, it just hurts the pride.
That's a game Green Bay's supposed to win. You should be happy the Jets lost. I know you've decided to hate the Jets.
Yeah, I have it because I like the head coach, but I decided to hate the Jets. And I'll tell you another development. Let's just stay close to home.
Oh, that's.
I turn on. I don't watch the Redskins.
A lot of empty seats.
Closely, you can watch them for 20 years. The last like eight, I don't watch the Redskins at all. But I turned that game on one of the TVs yesterday, just leave it there. And there's so few people in the stands, I thought automatically, well, it's just after halftime. People are getting a hot dog. When they come back, you know, in 20 minutes, when people are back in their seats, it'll look like a Redskins game. My God.
No.
So what was the official attendance?
57 and change. They announced 57
and
it, change.
What is it, seat?
57 in a 75,000 seat.
That may be what
formerly a 90,000 seat.
Yeah. But they've cut down and down and down and down. That is
well, when you put a terrible product and insult your fans constantly, sometimes people react.
And they don't retain good players.
Yeah.
In my house last night, a former Redskin season ticket holder asked me, she said, is there any place else in the league that has had this kind of dramatic turnoff by its fans? And I said, you know what, Cheryl, that's a great question.
I'm not sure there's another one.
I don't know.
I mean, who's been so consistently bad? I mean, usually it's consistent bad.
Cleveland's
the Browns.
Consistently bad, yeah. And that was, you know, that was very much like the Redskins and that Cleveland had no seats available ever.
Right.
But that changed about like closer to 15
that
years,
was a
20 years ago.
Oakland lost a lot of people when they went through about 10 years of badness, and they've got a big stadium.
These were slower erosions. You're talking in the Redskins about a team that sold out every game for 51 years
overnight.
And then was 60% full.
Yeah, you're right about that.
The Redskins nationally have been irrelevant now for a little while.
Ouch.
And I don't know that this conversation is playing out anywhere else, but this was, to me, I was astonished at the way the stadium looked.
Well, and the crowd did not socialite sent me pictures because he went to the game.
And the crowd.
There's so many empty seats. The upper area.
No one there.
There's nobody there. No. It looks like the Miami Marlins.
Correct.
That, right, Mike?
Right.
It looks like the Marlins.
The Rays.
What in the world?
A smattering of fans.
All the things. That was the most astonishing look to me.
Yeah.
That if you came back, yes, Tony, it looked like a Tampa Bay Rays game.
Yeah. Yeah. There was nobody there. All right. Well, I see you later.
Yeah. Where am I going to be?
I have no idea. Do you have any thoughts about the Bears hosting Monday Night Football tonight?
I want to see if they can follow up last week's performance, even for a half,
right?
Can they look like a professional football team? What the head coach and the quarterback? The head coach and the quarterback were not. They drowned in the moment last week against the Packers. They drowned in it. They weren't up to it. Now, I'm not going to say they're not adequate or they're the wrong selection. I'm not. But you got to. Pat Mahomes has already shown you greatness.
Yes.
It doesn't mean he's going to sustain this, but he's shown you what's in him. What has Mitchell Trubisky showed in whatever it is now? I don't know, 12, 14 starts?
Nothing special yet.
Right. And what's the head coach shown?
Well, he's only been there an hour.
I said...
right. He showed nothing in one game.
I want to see...
In the second half.
What they've got. Because no matter how great your defense is, Dick Butkus, a great many Bears teams, great defenses, have been undermined by a weak head coach and a quarterback not worth a damn.
All right.
And I hope that is not the case. So that's all I care about, because I'm still – the Cubs are the obsession of the city. And we're looking at the Bears going, all right, we saw last week, there were times that were encouraging, there were times that were not. What you got?
All right, we'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is probably my favorite read because it's Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, you do like this.
It's a good product.
To the point. And I think this is the way ad copy should go. All right? Some things were meant for each other. Fries and milkshakes, selfies and duck face. I don't know what that
chatters
means.
And platters.
And now, yeah, chatters and platters. And now the Tony Kornheiser Show on Spotify. Yes, that same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite shows and discover new ones. To subscribe to ours, search for the Tony Kornheiser Show, tap follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, and get every new episode delivered to you. Podcasts on Spotify, they're streaming right now, and now, and now.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Greg Oliver sent this in, and he writes, "Thanks so much for playing my song, What's He Doing Here, back in July. It was a thrill for me. My friend Michael Shapiro, who encouraged me to send it, also appreciated the shout-out. Here's another song for your consideration. This one is called That's Something I Would Do. It's about a scatterbrained couple who discover they have a lot in common, including their feelings for each other. I recorded this as a duo with the very talented vocalist Krista Tenari. I like singing with Krista because she makes me sound so much better. You can hear this song and others on Bandcamp and Reverb Nation under the name Fine Blue Line." Michael, if people like Greg Oliver want to send their original music to us, which can be heard in its entirety after the podcast, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And how are we doing selling Wine Tyrant paraphernalia?
We're doing very well with the wine, the official Wine Tyrant corkscrew and the bottle saver. And we do have, I know it's getting close to the end of the season, but the TK Show golf visor and a TK Show divot repair tool.
I wasn't aware of those things. That's great to know. One more time, I'll say that if you intend to break the fast on Wednesday night and you want a platter from Chatter, which I like saying, go to chatterdc.com.
Noodle Kugel's still available.
Right, or call us up at 202-362-8040. Nigel has news.
And what goes better with the Chatter platter than a T-shirt that you can purchase for just $12 American?
You have to be here for that.
Yes, you come in and pick up the platter.
Right,
pick up the platter.
Right.
You know what? Grab four T-shirts.
Yeah.
Are we still out of extra smalls for me?
Yes, we are. Yes,
Smedium.
We are. Yeah, the Smediums are coming in for you later today. Yeah. Mr. Tony, we'll start off in the world of politics, and it looked like they were headed for a vote on Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court this Thursday, but now that appears to be in doubt as these allegations have surfaced from over 30 years ago of him allegedly assaulting a woman.
36 years ago.
And,
high school.
And now even some Republicans are saying, hey, maybe we should delay the vote and investigate this a little bit further.
This is this story, we'll get to Chris in a second, just to give you background on this story. Dianne Feinstein said that there was some sort of allegation. And shadowy reports more or less got what it was, but didn't nail it down. Mm-hmm. And you could be excused if you said, well, you know, who is it? It's anonymous. What is it? And a woman came forward to the Washington Post, and she is a college professor in California who grew up here. You can read the story in the Post. Her name is Christine Blasey Ford. She owns it. And it is, when you read at least through the story in the Washington Post, I'm not going to tell you it's utterly convincing, but I believe it. I mean,
yes.
I at this point believe this story. And Chris, what are the ramifications here?
Yeah.
We should say that Brett Kavanaugh and the White House have categorically denied this. The essence of it is that at a party when she was 15 and he was 17 and they were high school students, he at Georgetown Prep, she at Holton Arms. There was a groping and pinning situation. She says he was falling down drunk, and it was, at that period of time, I think fair to say, violent and frightening, and she's carried it with her whole life, never spoke about it before until a few years ago in therapy.
Yeah, so, 2012, I think, according to the story.
Not, we should point out, not rape. It's not that. It is a groping and pinning.
Sexual assault,
I guess it would be characterized as.
So I think the key difference here happened yesterday afternoon. So it went from, on Friday, being an anonymous accusation in a letter that Dianne Feinstein had and was sort of semi-forced to turn over to the FBI by other Democrats who wanted this aired for investigation, into a person whose name is now on it, it matters hugely.
That matters.
It's a massive difference between an anonymous allegation. This is a person. Here is where she lives. Here's what she said. Here's what her husband has said she said. And this morning, her attorney has been on basically every show and has said she's more than happy to come talk to the Senate Judiciary Committee, potentially even in a public hearing. I don't know how, if you're a Republican, and Nigel mentioned this, you've had Jeff Flake and Bob Corker essentially say, we should hear this, and Lindsey Graham. Now, these are three people who...
Two of those three are leaving the Senate.
Correct.
And are at Trump, crossroads with,
yes,
Donald Trump.
Absolutely. And Lindsey Graham is Lindsey Graham, kind of does his own thing.
Right.
I think that Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, has held the line to this point. I just don't know how... You can't say, let's bring her in.
You can't bury
it. She is now both. It was, well, she's anonymous. Well, now she's not anonymous anymore. Well, what is she gonna? We need her to come to talk to us. That's what Lindsey Graham said yesterday. Well, now she's not only willing to come talk, but she's willing to testify publicly, which is a great
risk to any human being.
I mean,
anybody listening to this, anybody sitting here, that hearing, yep, is a great risk. Personal risk.
Correct. And so I think this is now, I don't see how, if you are a Republican, you can be like, well, it's fine, we're just going to do it. I just, particularly because the only two people in some ways who matter in the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh are Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, the two Republicans who, remember, they have 51 votes. So if every Republican votes for Brett Kavanaugh, that's it. You only need 50. Given the nature of these allegations, given that this is now someone who has come forward with what I would say is a credible story you would need to ask more questions about, I don't see how you proceed
now, it is
without hearing from her, without, right, at least these people who are going to vote on him allegedly on Thursday, without hearing from her.
So I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but it is possible it's a case of mistaken identity. We've seen novelizations, and we've seen movies where this has happened. But I would ask this. This is very close to Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. It's very, very close. There are a lot of people who would have said, we made a mistake in confirming Clarence Thomas. There were these allegations, mm-hmm, by Anita Hill. 20 years later, 25 years later, mm-hmm, what is your sense of the course correction in the culture right now, and would that change the way Kavanaugh's vote would
be? Right. Well, so I think that the fact that...
Or am I overstating?
No, I mean, the fact, first of all, Joe Biden, and a lot of this he has done because he wants to run for president, but Joe Biden has publicly, repeatedly apologized over the last year. Remember, he was the chairman of the Senate Judiciary, yes, Committee, apologized for allowing the attacks on Anita Hill that happened back in, was that 87?
91.
91. Okay.
So it's 26, 27.
Okay. There's a reason that he is doing that. Maybe his conscience plagues him, not, but also because of the era that we are currently living in.
Yes.
I mean, the dominant narrative culturally, there are two dominant narratives that are tied, I think. One is Donald Trump, obviously, and everything that goes there. And the other is the Me Too movement. And obviously, Donald Trump does not exist separate from that, given the allegations against him. But those two pieces, I think, make it... I just don't think in this current environment where we are today, you can possibly continue to do the Chuck Grassley, like, we're going to continue. He says he didn't do it. We're going to continue forward.
Right.
The White House,
right,
has reissued their statement from Friday, right, saying he's categorically denied this. I just, if the woman said, I'm not comfortable coming forward. I've lived my life. I'm not saying what I said isn't true. It is true, but I don't want to sacrifice, because to your point, this will be for her. You can't overstate how how this affects your life.
When you watch these hearings, even when people pass 95 to nothing, you go, oh.
It's a miserable.
You just can't allow this to happen. You cannot be questioned like
this. And think
this.
About cannot. It, too. If I say Clarence Thomas, you almost certainly say Anita Hill. It was 1991. I mean, that was 1991, pre-internet. Yeah. I mean, imagine now, and this woman's name will be a name regardless now that you know. And to subject yourself to that scrutiny, to offer yourself up like that, say, I will do this. I just don't – I think Republicans have to get it.
So what does it do to the timeline then? So
well, the vote was supposed to be Thursday.
Now, right. It's still scheduled for Thursday.
Theoretically, they could – she could – I mean, she lives in California, but you bring her in tomorrow. I don't know what the committee hearing – my point is you have to – I think they probably have to delay it because I don't think logistically you can set up a hearing with everyone this week, particularly if it's going to be public. I mean, that then takes on a whole other thing.
And by the way, you have to – and this is – I shouldn't say it's sad. It's the necessary part. Those people who advocate for the nominee have to have time to figure out what to ask her and put this in a light that is not good for her.
Well, and I don't know – one last thing. I don't know if this is the official White House line because figuring out the official White House line of this White House is –
I mean, well, it changes.
Yeah. It's like looking at an eight ball. Kellyanne Conway this morning, two reporters at the White House. This is about the woman. She should not be insulted. She should not be ignored. She should testify under oath, and she should do it on Capitol Hill, and that's up to the Senate Judiciary Committee. They need to decide.
She speaks for – we think
– Well, theoretically, yes. I mean, to the extent anyone speaks for him.
That's right.
Right?
Okay. So, what else do we have for news? We'll get off this topic. We'll get to something nicer.
Well, if you expected Vontae Davis to take the field in
the
second
story.
Half of the Chargers game, you lose.
If you had Vontae Davis playing the whole game, you lost.
Apparently, he just said,
unbelievable.
Not only am I not going out, I'm just retiring right here and right now.
This is unbelievable to say, I'm done, I'm retiring. Your teammates just look at you. What? We're getting killed here. We're on the worst team in football, us or Arizona, and you're just bailing out. If you're Vontae Davis, you have to say something like, I twisted my
arm.
Ankle.
I think it's
broke.
I
have an injury. I have an injury, and then you say later on, you know, I've been injured so much, I'm done. You don't do
it
this.
It seems there would be a better way to do it. And by the way, about 4 hours later.
And the coach just said he quit.
He issues his retirement statement with a glory shot of him from the Colts, which is where most people identify
right.
as. But
yeah, it just issued a simple statement. I shouldn't be out there anymore.
And the coach of Buffalo, there can't be anybody who looks at this guy and thinks he's got a long tenure.
Yeah.
And he made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
The playoffs.
Well, thanks, Andy. You're going back to, the McDermott well.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think the fact that he rolled Nathan Peterman out not once but twice, that should be fireable
what
if it's
doing?
Not.
I think
what
it's Jay doing? Peterman, actually.
Is it? Oh.
Well, the thing that makes no sense about that is he brought in A.J. McCarron and then traded him away. What are you doing?
Last week we talked about the new head coaches of the NFL go 0-7. Let's take a look at how they did this week.
Their record right now is 2-11. They're waiting for the Nagy tonight against Seattle. 2-11. So don't be so quick to fire your coach.
It's a hard job.
Don't be so quick. Yeah.
Did you want to talk about the college football? LSU's big win?
Yeah, did I watch that?
I did.
LSU,
I
did. Okay.
By the way, the kid, Joe Burrow, like 6 months ago, he was the third string quarterback on Ohio State. And now he's starting at LSU.
Well, he didn't have a particularly good game, but he made a great pass on a fourth down. They went for it on fourth down. Orgeron went for it, and it enabled them to get in position to kick a field goal that beat Auburn. At Auburn, right?
That's a big win.
You know, now nothing is big if you don't beat Alabama. Right. You got to be. And Alabama, as we said, with Wilbon.
It's going to be tough.
Alabama. They were up 49-7 against Ole Miss in the half, the first half.
Ole Miss scored the first touchdown on the first play.
And then that was it. that was pretty much it. Yes. So, yeah, LSU looked good. Here's who doesn't look good. Florida State and UCLA.
Oof.
Willie Taggart, he's not going to make the whole season.
No.
If this continues. He's not going to make the whole season. And Chip Kelly will make the whole season, but you're going, really? What? What's going on here? They're 0-3, UCLA.
And USC lost a bad game as well. They look pretty terrible.
So,
I mean,
and Wisconsin, you probably talked about this with Wilbon, but Wisconsin, that loss to BYU is just despicable.
It's a bad loss at home.
Yeah.
It's a bad loss. The Big Ten stinks.
I mean, Florida State lost 30-7
at Syracuse.
Is Donovan McNabb on that team?
They have Florida State
Who's on Syracuse?
The one win they have is Samford.
And
they were they were behind.
That's the rally for that win.
That's the two. That's, you know, come on now. This is not working out. All right, this is a very good news segment.
Do you not want to hear the story from Niceville, Florida?
Go ahead.
An unidentified man had a great idea late night the other day in Niceville, Florida, and he wanted to bake some cookies. Mm. Well, what better way to bake those cookies than on a George Foreman grill? Mm-hmm. Then he forgot about them because he'd been drinking. We later found out he drank 2 liters of vodka.
Wow. And
he started several fires within his house as he attempted to bake these cookies. When firefighters arrived at the smoke-filled home on Date Palm Drive, the man answered the door, naked, of course, because it is Florida.
You're going to bake cookies.
Simply said, "I'm sorry," and then closed the door. The firefighters called in the police. The man answered the door, left it open, and then just wandered off into the house. Police walked in and noticed the several fires, and the man showed no signs of caring for his safety, so they removed him from his house. And he said he admitted to drinking 2 liters of vodka, smoking marijuana since 9 p.m., mm-hmm. and about midnight was when he said, "I'd really like some George Foreman
cookies."
Was
a crime committed, though? I'm trying to figure out. You can do all that stuff in your house.
You can set your house on fire.
Victimless crime, is that what you're saying?
Somebody has to come and put out the
fire. Except for the George Foreman grill.
Police said he had tried to put dry towels on top of the fiery grill. But
he had tried to put tinder on top of the
grill. He wants to suffocate the fire.
Yes.
But that did not work. I poured lighter fluid on it and it didn't work.
Yes.
That's funny. Okay, let's get out of here. That's ridiculous. We will have Old Guy when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the bespoke ad, or is it best spoke? I think
bespoke.
It's bespoke.
Bespoke.
Post. Right. When you're constantly on the go, grinding away at work or out with friends, there's not much time to think about upgrading your style or apartment, and that's why I love getting hooked up with a box of awesome from Bespoke Post every month. These guys are out scouting for quality and unique products to send to me. Now, you can experience it, too, at boxofawesome.com. I just think that is terrific. To get started, Michael, you've done this, right?
Yes.
What did they send you?
Well, we had the Weekender bag sent to you that you were using this summer.
Yes, that was very nice.
But now it's a
nice
new season.
Yes. To get started, visit boxofawesome.com. Answer a few short questions that will help them get a feel for the boxes that will best go with your style. Whether you're in search of the perfect drink, a well-kept pad, or jet-setting in style, Bespoke Post improves your life one box at a time. Each box goes for under $50, but has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting for you inside. The first of each month, you'll receive an email with your box details. You'll have 5 days to change colors and sizes or add extra goods to your box. If you're not feeling that month's box, just simply skip it. From barrel-aging kits to limited-edition cigars to Weekender bags to classy dop kits, Bespoke Post offers essential goods and guidance for the modern man. To receive 20% off your first subscription box, which is a good deal, go to boxofawesome.com. Enter the code Tony at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Code Tony for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, themed boxes for guys who give a damn. Now, it says for guys that give a damn, but it's got to be who. Yeah. If you're going to write it, it's for guys who give a damn. Right, Michael?
Unless you're talking about the box.
The box. No, I think they're trying to.
I get that. That's what I was going for. Okay. Referring to a person.
Okay.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Billy Joel from Hicksville, Long Island. And this is his first and probably one of the biggest hits, if not the biggest hit. This is Piano Man. We don't play much of a song. The long version goes about 7 minutes. Nigel, why are we playing this today?
Because it was on this day in 1973 that he sat down and recorded it. And he did this. He was in a contract dispute with his first record company, and he had to flee out to Los Angeles. And so this song was
represented at the time by his then wife.
Yes.
Yes.
And so this was what he did. He was like, "I'm going to go out and I'm going to make some money." So he would play piano at a bar. And this is the story. Is that all the people in it are essentially real? I think his wife has mentioned that she was a waitress at the bar. And I think it only got to like...
It's a great talent, Billy Joel. He's a great talent.
Yes. And it only reached number 25 when it first came out. But then later, people were like, "We missed that because this is a brilliant song."
Absolutely.
And it's recognized as his greatest
hit. He has been married how many times?
I think three now.
Three
or four, but I think three. One early. I'm not sure that Christie Brinkley was second. She may have been the third wife. I'm not sure. I don't I don't have the Billy Joel catalog in my head.
There's a great profile of him either in the New Yorker or the New York Times magazine where he lives on Long Island.
He helicopters
Madison
Square Garden. This was New Yorker about 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was a great piece. Yeah, it's a great piece. Really interesting.
All right, so let me go back in time to when Wilbon was talking, and let us discuss this a little bit further about the Washington Redskins. There was nobody there yesterday relative to who's there all the time. They had 51 years of sellouts. Now, they reduced the amount of seats available by putting in Lido decks all over the place or something like that.
The Bud Light party deck.
And one of the reasons they did that, one of the reasons is because the experience at FedEx Field is unsatisfactory to many, many people. I had season tickets. I stopped going. Michael, you've had more recent experience than I, though not particularly recent, and you've...
Well, it became a burden to go to the stadium, and I think the standards that we all have for a game day experience have changed, where we're not as willing to take 8 hours of our day to go to a stadium that takes an hour and a half to sit through 3+ hours of a bad game that's not enjoyable, does not... So you have newer stadiums. FedEx was actually just built in between two eras. It's too old to be one of these new stadiums that's trying to give you more reason to show up.
It was built on the fly and on the cheap. I mean,
it's a concrete rectangle block.
In the middle of nowhere.
And
I mean,
and
Metro accessible.
People are drunk.
A mile away.
No, people are drunk.
Like you're not going to take... It's hard to take. I would take the kids. Obviously, I've taken them to Nationals game. I've taken them to Wizards, Georgetown, although that's painful for other reasons. but I would not take them to an NFL game for that reason.
People are drunk.
They are wasted.
Yeah, it's not fun. When they're drinking it, it's a 1 o'clock start, so probably people get there at 10.
So the socialite told me that he went yesterday. He said you could drive right in. And you could drive
out. That's good, yeah.
There was nobody there. This is, for many, many years, they were in denial about their season ticket base and saying how long the waiting list was. About a year ago, they admitted there was no particular waiting list. And now they are admitting there's nobody there. There are a variety of reasons why this is happening. But the one thing that I would wonder about, and I'm not saying this is conscious, but it may be some subconscious feeling on the part of a lot of people. This was the home opener, and they had won last week.
Looked good
doing so.
What'll happen at their homecoming
game? Got new superstars.
You know, so...
And, like, the Colts are not great, but Andrew Luck is theoretically a draw.
If you injected the people who didn't come with sodium pentothal, might they say, I'm tired of the owner? I want out.
I think that we...
They'll tell you that outright.
Yeah.
Yes.
They would have told you that 15 years ago.
Is this a rebellion, the fomenting of a rebellion in some way?
I don't think it's the reason, but I think it makes it easy for people who are giving up to just sort of say,
team's been bad and dull.
It's been irrelevant.
It certainly doesn't make them any easier to root for. I think a lot of Redskins fans would tell you that.
Think about it. They've had that one
season.
They
own this city.
Yeah.
But the
one season they've had.
Unbridled optimism.
Yeah, unbridled optimism. No. So the RG3 year, that's it.
The year of unbridled optimism.
Basically since 91.
Well, they had a quarterback who didn't want to be here who they didn't want.
Yes.
At least they have a good quarterback who wants to be here, who had a statistically good game, but they didn't punch it in.
But it
didn't get in the end zone.
It's after so many years. I mean, you guys grew up here. I mean, this is, I would just think, utter fatigue with people and just say,
it's just atrophy.
Yeah.
How many years have we had the quieter Dan where he's trying to stay away from public eye?
At least five to six years.
Because I think that's the turning point.
That's my favorite edition of him.
It's a value.
He's not meddling.
He's having private dinners with RG3 still.
Like anything else, it's simply a value proposition. I can speak only for myself. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to go there. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the money. It's not fun. The football isn't that good.
What if they moved it to D.C. again? What if they brought it back?
They would get a bump, but if they don't win, if it takes 90 minutes to get out of the parking lot after the game. I mean, they got to fix all that stuff.
I used to have to leave at the beginning of the fourth quarter, or else I wouldn't get home.
Right.
You know, you got to go early, you got to leave early.
RFK mm-hmm. was metro accessible. You could walk out of the metro right. station and right. and you were like as close to the stadium as you are to Chatter.
Yeah.
You know, closer.
Yeah.
Even. This is, they call it metro accessible, but it's not. It's a mile away. They'll shuttle you or you can walk. I mean, it's just, and they're just, and they're bad. So yeah, the fact that no
We've
one likes
never
the owner.
Seen this. We've no. never seen but seas listen. Of empty seats.
But Tony, if you snapped your fingers and they were 14-2, people everyone's going. They don't okay. care yep. who
so
owns
you
it.
Think the main Everyone, reason is the
stadium teams. Would be filled, but it would be a different base than the fans that were going there even 10 years ago, the ones that were holding on to season tickets because they'd been in families for a few generations. You have a season ticket base that is now skewing much more towards Northern Virginia, and frankly, even if they move back to inside the D.C. line, it'd be interesting to see if some of those old families return. Because yeah. I don't think they would, and a lot of that has to do with the name.
And this is a front-page story in the Washington Post.
Yep.
Empty seats for the first time ever. Michael, you went to a wedding.
I did.
Want to describe your wedding?
It was a beautiful wedding. So my friend Ben Smith married his longtime girlfriend, Kate Watley.
Weather
Kate
cooperated, Smith. Too, right?
And the entire yeah. week, I felt so bad. Everyone's texting him, hey, did you see the forecast?
No, he missed it.
And this is, it's not just the expense. It's if everyone's coming into town, you're trying to figure this out. It was on their family's farm. So it's very close to the water. You're worried about just getting people
safely
there.
This is on the Eastern Shore.
This is on the Eastern Shore. And it actually turned out to be a beautiful afternoon. The sun came out. There was just a warm breeze coming off the water, and actually, it was lovely. They made the right call by staying the course and holding the wedding. I know there's a few other weddings in Easton proper that had already canceled. The only issue, you never get enough to eat at a wedding. I wish that every wedding would just have a bread basket, whether it's a sit down, served dinner, buffet. Just saying. You know what? I don't know if you have to leave. We had to leave early, so
we had to drive home.
But just give me a bread basket so I can load up on carbs and feel like,
see,
you know, I'm stuffed by the time I'm walking out the door.
I pummel the food at weddings and I ask for seconds. Because I'll be like, hey, is there another steak back there?
You do that, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
When you check the box, you sign up for two.
I'm like, hey, I mean, you know, you got a vegetarian meal back there? Every once in a while, because Michael's right, you never get enough food. And then I eat like 19 pieces of cake. This is in my more rotund days. Pre-television.
I think I carry around a cheesesteak with me at all times. That way, if you're hungry, you've always got that with you.
That's true.
See, I feel bad when they have the past hors d'oeuvres because the key is always load up on hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
But everyone, everyone's watching you. And you think with the
you got to do it like Midnight
staff,
Cowboy
right. when they're walking around.
Hey, what's your problem? It's free, isn't it?
You come back.
What you do is you have your wife
don't
open
go away.
Her purse.
They had the mini crab cakes were delicious, and I just wanted the entire tray.
Yeah, I follow the when it's butlered hors d'oeuvres. I follow them around.
Well, especially if you find a good one.
Yeah, things are really good.
I always find the person with like the melon ball is like near me, and I'm like, can you bring back the guy with the good stuff
with the fillet?
So I had this conversation over the weekend. This is a conversation I had over the weekend. My depression with the Washington Nationals because they, you know, they're not in it.
Starting to win, starting to feel like last year.
Six back of the wild card with 12 to go. When you say they're not in it.
So they bailed out too early, and it made me very upset. And I like to spend evenings watching the Nats, but I don't anymore because I'm not emotionally involved because I'm angry about this. And my alternative is news shows, and I cannot watch either MSNBC or Fox. I cannot.
There's a third network available to you.
So now I don't want to put you in a position of having to defend CNN, but I will say this about CNN. When I watch CNN, I start to laugh hysterically.
Good.
Because they go eight wide on every single issue. There's always a panel of too many people. If they had you and you alone, I'd watch all the time. But there's an
You hear that, bosses?
But there's an obligation to get representation from everybody all the time. So I have nothing I can do in the evening. And I'm not involved in scripted dramas. Yes.
So you should watch these last 2 weeks just to see what happens between Soto and Acuña Jr. to see who's going to finish for Rookie of the Year. Mm. And well, look beyond the Nats. There are some great races for the NL West.
Oh no, I know
and
that.
For the Central.
I would watch those games if they were on.
Watch the MLB TV coverage. They'll show you all the interesting plays.
Can I make a few scripted drama suggestions
to
you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you should watch. You would love Get Shorty, which is an adaptation of an Elmore Leonard
novel. I've seen the movie.
Ray Romano is in it. Chris O'Dowd, the Irish guy. He's terrific.
Yeah.
Do you do Netflix? Could Michael set up Netflix for you?
I don't subscribe to Netflix.
Well, there are ways around that, Tone.
I'm not going to share my password with you.
Your son might be willing to share his password. Ozark is really good.
I just don't know that I can.
Laura Linney. Laura Linney and Jason Bateman.
I love Laura Linney. Love them.
I mean, there's a lot of good scripted drama out there that you
haven't been watching Soul, have you?
No.
Yeah, I mean,
because I'm at loose ends at night.
You need a new show because the Americans is over.
I wander around the house.
You need to find something that you can pour yourself into.
Yeah, we need to give you a good scripted drama.
Can I just say one other thing?
It is your show.
I almost got a hole in one on Saturday.
Wow. You didn't tell me.
Almost.
Let me tell you
how
story.
Close.
Well,
all right, which par three? Let's start with that.
Could have been 16. A par four. One iron
the last
stinger.
Par three. The last par three at RTJ is a downhill par three.
Heading back towards the clubhouse.
155 yards is what the caddy said to me. It was downhill. I took out a five. I'm not a long hitter. I took out a five. I hit it great.
Long hitter.
It landed about 12 feet to the left of the hole and began moving right. Began moving right. At one point, those of us, I'm not going to describe who was there, but
could have been anyone, really.
Those of us who were watching it, it hit the hole. It oscillated. It hit the hole. It didn't go in. It landed about 8 to 10 feet wide right. I missed the birdie, but
no
I didn't
chance.
Care. I didn't care. Yeah. I didn't care. It almost went in, and everyone said, "Whoa! It hit the hole!" And it did. Very exciting. I've been closer than that. Ultimately,
right, you've had kick-ins.
You know, closer than that. Ultimately, but
this is right.
Did your playing partners make you putt it?
Oh sure,
8 feet.
Sure, we were
dude.
In a match. We were in a match. I didn't know I missed it, but I parred the hole. No, we won the hole. I parred the hole.
Okay.
But
I would just pick up.
I almost got it in. I almost got it in. That would have been something, huh?
I still can't.
Do you know what my
Michael
bar bill would have been at RTJ on Saturday afternoon? Thousands of dollars. Mm. And I would have said, fine.
Just put it on the member.
Fine. You know.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I could have done it. Almost got it done. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with some email.
Yes.
A jingle, whatever we got.
Yes, from David Dalabrida. I believe he's covering Gary's original.
Oh, wow.
Okay, fine. Yes. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. We're gonna read some for all of you folks. La cheesery.
This is David Dalabrida in Fort Mill, South Carolina, who says, please accept my cover of the classic Gary Braun mailbag jingle. As a longtime listener, I can proudly name the original members of the Rascals. No longer feel alone due to my habit of eating candy one color at a time, and have recently convinced my fellow Charlotte colleagues that the weather pattern named Florence is actually a hurricane. That's great. And P.S. Edith Saliza, which is very, very nice. Let me thank Michael Wilbon. Let me thank our sponsors, Bespoke Post, Spotify, and Harry's Razors.
I deserve that.
Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Do we ever get reviewed? Are the reviews good?
Yes, I told you, we got 3 Michelin stars.
Your pal is
May I also
his
wish
birthday.
A very happy 50th birthday to my good friend Robert McClure, who joins us here in the
studio.
Wow,
he's 50?
Happy birthday. Yes, I know. Good happy looking man.
Wow. 50, looks good. Yeah.
David Brown, Charlottesville.
All that clean living.
Jerusalem has long been on my destination wish list, but frankly, the immense historical significance that comes with being the cradle of 3 major religions has never been enough to vault it ahead of global centers of cultures like Disneyland and Cancun.
Well,
but now that I know that Israel has hot babes, a beach, and at least one rooftop pool with a bar, I'm all in for summer 2019 in the Holy Land, Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, just like Jacksonville, but with much tighter security. That's a great email. From Greg Freitag in Syracuse, New York. Dear Dr. Tony, M&Ms, just the green ones, baby. Of greater importance, chalk is not a toy. It is a projectile in the hands of Mr. Bonsbach. My 6th grade teacher used to remind me that I should be paying attention to him and not trying to listen to the World Series on my transistor radio. From Andrew Stein in Jerusalem. I'm so happy to hear that you appreciate a new ad campaign and motto for tourism to the Holy Land. You should know that tagline narrowly beat out the following runners-up. One, Israel. Have you tried matzah? Israel, come to the death place. Come visit the death place of Rabin, Jesus, and the Panther. And Israel, now with less stabbings. That's,
oh, my God.
From Carla Corrado in Columbus, Ohio. My friend's four-year-old grandson, Joey, was in his aunt's wedding acting as the ring bearer. They told Joey, you were the ring bearer. The four-year-old understood and took his role quite seriously. During the ceremony, Joey marched down the aisle, growling and roaring and menacing like a bear. Very good. Chris from Austin. While I concede that Buzz Aldrin's tweet of being on the moon is the all-time best, and it is.
It is.
I was on the moon that day. I would like to submit another tweet from noted celebrity Kate Upton. We know this.
Oh,
we
yes.
know this
yes.
one.
Yes.
The when he didn't get the Cy Young Award, and she tweeted, I guess I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Blank Justin
Still
Berlin.
Second to Buzz
Yeah,
Aldrin.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Also
Bill Isaacson in rainy D.C. Enough worrying about Pinehurst. What about Alex Podlogar? Did he evacuate? Is he at a place where he needs theater tickets? Do you need to forward him an email with a ticket request? One other thing, my grandmother Isaacson from Waterford, Wisconsin, had an M&M jar that she would stand over and say, one at a time, one at a time. To this day, M&Ms taste funny to me if I put more than one in my mouth. I understand that. I understand that. Alex Podlogar is safe. I mean, I talked to him last week.
That's good.
He said that, well, Michael and I talked about this. That's the sand hills of North Carolina. So unlikely, Pinehurst itself, unlikely to be flooded. Now, he lives in Sanford, which is about 25, 30 miles away. I don't know about the status there. Jack Selby in Falls Church, Virginia. With the Storm winning the WNBA title on George Mason University's court on Wednesday, I've been trying to determine where this moment ranks on my alma mater's list of all-time moments. Right now, I have it at about 37, right behind when we got a Chipotle on campus.
Well, that was a
year.
Big day.
Yeah.
That was a big day.
Jack
Delicious.
From Richmond, Virginia. At my suggestion, my sisters visited the Uranus Fudge Factory in Missouri. When they entered, the greeter says, thanks for picking Uranus. It's just
never not funny.
Jason DeDakis,
100 out of 100.
Fountain Valley, California. After hearing on last week's show that James Carville couldn't call in to make his football picks due to being on the West Coast, this California-based Little decided to track down the Raging Cajun for a little advice. Based on some intel from Reginald, I was able to find James at one of our finest establishments on Friday night. I saddled up to the bar next to him. I asked James for his lock of the week, and he said, with a Carville accent, listen, son, you best give those 18 points. Dartmouth's getting over Georgetown like
okay.
that boy Saliza gives up CNN hits for hurricane coverage.
Whoops.
Also, what happened? What was the final?
Well, they had 41.
Yeah, how'd you do?
I don't know what we had. It was
how about less than
right
one?
Somewhere right around zero.
Yeah. 41-0.
You know what they say, though? Dartmouth. The green, they roll. Yeah.
And there's lots of different types of victories.
41-0.
The good thing is that they're an Ivy League school and we're not. Wait.
Don Ames, Kingston, Ontario, having just read about a man being killed in a shark attack at Cape Cod. My only question to you is, when do you expect Mayor Vaughn to declare that beach open again? I'll hang up and listen.
The biggest summer ever.
Well, what does AMNI stand for?
Friendship.
Grab your bike tonight, everyone. As always, do wear white.
Don't do it, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Blue Jay shrieking in the morning. Make sure I wake up. No time to be lazy. Buzzing around, I'm a little bee. You can never catch up. Got to make more honey. Like flowers pressed for time. Stuck in a stress.
can relate. That's something I would do. I get a little scattered too. I can tell already I'm a lot like you. That's something I would.
That's something I would do. That's something I would do. That's something I would do.